The DigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Center Show, Show 151, Thursday, 3rd of April, 2008. Show with TechRadar.com. I'm Ian Dixon. And this week, a couple of interviews for you. First up is Scott Evans from Microsoft, and Scott's going to be joining me to talk about the Windows Media Center Ultimate Installer Competition, which is for custom AV installers. I mentioned it briefly on the show last week. We'll be talking about the competition, what it's for, the kind of entries that Microsoft are looking for, and how to submit the entries. I'll also be talking to AMD about the updated AMD Live Suite. I was interested to find out more about these applications being offered, particularly AMD Live Explorer, so we're going to be talking to AMD as well. I have email, news items, and an update on the Ultimate Enthusiast Installer Competition. So first to an email on Media Center Development from Blaze. Says, hi Ian, as an existing ASP.NET developer, I'm considering learning Media Center Markup Language to create some apps for my Media Center to plug some holes that I need filling for my current setup. I heard on a previous episode of the podcast an interview which states that Media Center Markup Language is very similar to ASP.NET, although my brief research on Media Center Markup Language suggests otherwise. So I thought to take some time to bridge the skill gap and learn MCML. My concern now, though, is that MCML will be replaced or superseded by something different in the next version of Media Center, and I would have committed some time to learn a dead technology. Do you know if Microsoft plans out MCML as a developer platform for Media Center, and when, if they're looking, they have something else up their sleeve? Keep up the good work on an excellent show, Lee. Thanks for the email, Lee. As far as I know, Media Center Markup Language is here to stay. There are quite some significant areas of Media Center that are written in Media Center Markup Language, and it's kind of the language of Media Center. And things like Charlie mentioned on last week's show, the Internet TV option is completely written with Media Center Markup Language. So I think it's a safe bet to go with that, and especially when you see some of the great applications that other developers are coming up with. It's a powerful language. It's not easy to learn. It's got a bit of a steep learning curve, but once you get into it, it is very powerful. So I would go with that, and Media Center Markup Language is a great platform once you get into it. So have a go at that, and let us know how you get on with developing your applications. Now an email from Aaron Rodriguez on DVD streaming that I mentioned last week. He says, as of right now, the best option to get streaming DVDs on extenders is to use MyMovies plus Transcode 360. I don't use this particular program anymore, but I understand that it works for transcoding DVDs on the fly. Another program which I use and is excellent, but does not yet support streaming DVDs, is the MoreTV TV Library add-in. It does have a Vista version and works quite well, and does have capabilities to work with Transcode 360 to play DivX files on the Media Center, and the DVD streaming option has been a requested feature, and the author is working getting this to work, and it should be an option when it does. And he sent me a link for that. Thanks for the email, Aaron. I know where MoreTV, Andrew Cherry, has been on the show in the past, and he talked about that, so have a listen out for that show to talk about TV Library for more information on TV Library. That sounds a good solution. I think Transcode 360 and MyMovies is also a good solution. So there's been quite a few of those sent in. But anyway, thanks to Aaron. He gets a copy of Big Screen Weather 2 from Big Screen Global, and you can get a demo and free trial versions of the Big Screen applications from a link in the show notes. And if you use the checkout code DIGITALDEAL, you'll get some additional discount on the Big Screen applications. And as I'm just recording this now, Big Screen Headlines 2 has been released, so we'll talk about that on next week's show, and we'll be giving away a copy as well, or more than one copy. So now another email on DVD content extenders. Hi Ian, I really enjoy your podcast, always useful info, keep up the good work. You asked for feedback on how people are getting DVD contents to extenders. I've been building a home system using Windows Home Server and Vista Media Center, which serves up our family's music, home videos and photos, as well as our DVD collection. I've got a bit mixture of both Linksync extenders and Xbox 360. The requirements I set for my DVD distribution were no loss in video quality from the source DVD, 5.1 audio, need to be able to pause, fast forward and skip ahead, and fast conversion from DVD to shared format. After trying a lot of different options, what I've settled for it to use is Video Redo to convert the main movie of the DVD to a DVR-MS file. It's fast, 10 to 15 minutes average, as it's not recoding but simply copying to another container. It supports 5.1 Dolby Digital and the pause and fast forward functions as I hoped. As an extra step, I also add metadata tag to the media type to the movie so it doesn't show up as a TV show. I use MyMovies 2 for the interface and I simply set aside a folder in the Windows Home Server Share for each movie and then drop the DVR-MS file into it. I can even drop multiple files from a multi-CD collection and it works quite nicely. I'm really happy with this and the final result on my Media Center PC connected to my big screen TV as well as my Linksys 2100 and Xbox 360 extenders. I've chosen only to rip the main movies, but you could also rip the extras into separate files and present it with MyMovies 2 as well. Hope that was of interest, Pat. Thanks, Pat, that was very interesting. And you're another person that's going to get a copy of Big Screen Weather 2, because that is a great tip. And I'm actually going to give that a try myself. I've mentioned before I've been using DVD to WMV, but the re-encoding time, it takes ages. So a Video Redo sounds interesting if it just converts it to a recorded TV file. So I'm going to have a look at that. Maybe I'll have an update on that on next week's show. So thanks for everybody that's emailed in. I really do like hearing how people are using different applications to get the content the way they want it and the way that where they want it. Please keep those coming in, Ian at thedigitallifestyle.com. And now I've got an email from Richard. Having listened to the Media Center Show 102, Brian Socia on decoders, I downloaded a utility for Vista to see what other codecs I had installed. However, despite installing all of the DivX Pro package and the ability to play DivX movies on the PC, the utility did not register any DivX codecs. I'm not sure why. I'm having problems playing some AVI movies. Some are DivX, but I'm not sure. Is there a way of telling how they have been encoded and therefore determine what codec I need to play them? Regards, Richard. Thanks for the email, Richard. It's hard to tell, really, if the .avis can have code content in different formats. Really, it could be DivX, it could be H.264, it may be other formats. So if any listeners got any suggestions for Richard, the best way to check up on these, you could also try a program called VLC, which is like a Windows Media Player type program, but it does seem to play virtually any codec, so you could try that, see if that works, and that may actually tell you what codec it's in. Another email now, this on the show music. Hi Ian, comment you made regarding the theme in show 149 spurred me to make this observation. Listening to my iPod to the theme gives me a weird sense of deja vu, reminding me of the night spent listening to BBC World Service on shortwave radio in the 70s. There's something about the orchestration of the theme coupled with some of the audio effects caused by a low bitrate, which certainly emulates the sounds of Origin Lemons coming from London those many years ago. And two, just as I listened with awe and anticipation to a voice in Bush House, so too do I look forward to the Media Centre show. Regards and thanks, Michael Taylor Noonan. Thanks, Michael. That's a great email. I'm really glad it takes you back to the 70s. I do have I am a big fan of 70s and 80s synthesizers. Maybe that's where it comes from. Or maybe, like you said, it's the bitrate. But it's great that it takes you back. I'm so glad that you enjoy listening to the show. So thanks for that. And we've got one final email from Eric. He says, hi, Ian. I've been listening to the show for a couple of months now and really enjoy it. I'm a college student in Canada studying electrical engineering. I currently don't have a Media Center rig, but I am looking to make one in the upcoming year. While the Vista Media Center UI is very pretty looking, I feel as though it could be hard to locate the digital media of your choice if the file's metadata is not entered correctly. I have thousands and thousands of MP3s all downloaded from different sources, and a handful of movies and TV shows I enjoy watching. However, not all of them have the artist's name in their respective metadata or album art title, or the genre of the music, etc. To be able to get the most out of my Media Center PC, I plan to build. I would require all my digital media to have the correct metadata tags. so that browsing through on Vista Media Center is headache-free and fast. My question is to you, do you know any good software or services which automatically organize your digital media, particularly MP3s, freeware, shareware? Thanks for your help. I appreciate it, Eric. Thanks for the email, Eric, and that is really good timing because that's one of the topics I was going to talk about on this week's show. How do you organise your media library? It was a question that was asked in the forums and I posted it on my blog. If you've got WMA files ripped from DVDs through Windows Media Player or Zune, it's pretty straightforward. But if you're downloading MP3 files from different sources and, like said in the Eric said in the email, you get different quality of metadata. So I wondered what listeners are using to organise their content. Now, I've used Album Art Fixer in the past, which has always worked well for me. It kind of scans through your whole of your Windows Media Player library and stops when it finds something that doesn't look right, like there's missing data, metadata, or an album art missing, and then gives you the opportunity to correct it. So I quite like that. But I know other people have used Media Monkey. Sean Oster in the comments said that he used MP3 Tag, and he's documented his process, which I'll include a link for in the show notes. In fact, I use MP3 Tag to tag up this podcast. Edbot replied with a post of his own, which he uses Windows Media Player, so have a look at that. And Carl posted that he uses JRiver, which is a media player type application, and there's a link for that in the show notes too. So let me know what you think. The email address is ian@digitallifestyle.com. I'd like to know how people are organising the libraries. So now to some other items from my blog and around the web. Channel 10 have a nice video showing Autonomic Audio's distribution system for Media Center, which uses 7.1 sound card to distribute 4 separate stereo pairs. There's a video showing how this works and how they're using a UMPC or a tablet PC to control Media Center, and there's a 14-day trial version as well. So have a look at that, and they're going to be talking to them on a future show. Good news if you're after a extender for Media Center and you're happy with the Xbox 360. The Xbox 360 Arcade is now £149 in most places here in the UK. I noticed Tesco's dropped the price down, and Amazon and some others. And there's a link in the show note if you want to go through the digitallifestyle.com affiliate link for Amazon. £149 is a pretty good price if you can put up with the noise. It makes a great extender. Of course, the other choice is something like the Linksys DMA2100. The cheapest one is £184, so it's up to you which one works best for you. And talking of extenders, Chris Lanier is reporting that the D-Link extender is now available for ordering around $250. It's a shame that it's only going to be offered in North America, because there seems to be some good feedback on the extender. It seems to be some users are reporting it's more powerful than the Linksys ones. So I would like to see that. So as it's not available over here, I did see it at CES. But any listeners, if you get planning to get one of these or you've already got one, let me know what you think of it. And talking of extenders, there's some nice adverts. I think they may have been around for a while, but I just spotted them over the weekend. And they're adverts for the extender functions of the Xbox 360 on Xbox.com. I think that they're targeting Xbox users who may not realise or may not have used their X360 as an extender. But they're quite good, and they show off some of the capabilities. So have a look at that link in the show notes. If you've been waiting for the Hopper HD PVR, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. This should have been launched at the end of March, but it looks like it may be April or May now. It looks like that it won't initially support Media Center, but Hopper say they're working on Media Center support for some time during the summer. So that's via Chris Lanier, so keep an eye out for that. Finally, I wanted to mention Vista Service Pack 1. Over the weekend, I put Service Pack 1 on my main Media Center PC. I've had it installed on my Samsung Q1 for a while now, and I've had the beta versions of that and my test machine, but I thought it was time to install it on my main Media Center machine, which is a bit of a risk because my kids and my wife all use that machine to watch their recordings, but I thought I'd go for it. The machine had never been offered Service Pack 1 via Windows Update, so I knew there was something that was preventing it from being installed, and I checked the list of known issues and drivers, and none seemed to be on there, so I went ahead and installed it, and it installed just as the others. It took about an hour and rebooted about 3 times. Once everything had finished, I gave it a test, played some content on the 360, played some content on Linksys, all seemed fine, and it fixed the problem I had with Windows Media Network Services that never seemed to start up properly, so I'm happy with that, so I'm happy with the install. But it wasn't until the following day that I actually tried playing some content on the actual local machine that I noticed I had a problem. It would play back recorded TV files, and it would play some WMV files and not others. It came up with a codec error. So I dropped into Windows Media Player to try it, and I noticed that it was content with digital audio in there. So I followed the link actually on the Windows Media Player button that on Windows Media Player that came up when it had an error, and it turned out it was digital audio problem. And I clicked on the link in the help file, and it actually took me to a solution, and that was that the Service Pack 1 had somehow set my sound card to use digital output. When I don't have digital output on the back of my sound card, so that was a throwing the error. So I'm going in through control panel and just selecting the normal stereo output fixed the problem. So if you try Service Pack 1 and you come across that, I thought to mention that in case you get it. As of yet, I've not really seen any speed improvement. The Q1 definitely does feel faster, and that's only got 1 gig of memory. Well, my main media center machine is pretty quick anyway; it's got 3 gig of memory, so I didn't really notice any changes. I also wanted to highlight this week the forums on the digitallifestyle.com. There's a lot of posts going in there now. There's some great advice from the expert and from regular users as well. So you can post anything from Media Center problems, Zune, Windows Home Server, anything you feel like. Because there's things like solutions for DivX playback, DVD playback, media management, all sorts in there. So have a look at that. You can find the link on the digitallifestyle.com on the main toolbar. So click on the forums link. And while I'm plugging the site, I should also mention the videos are on there, other blogs, and store, and offers of my book and downloads and everything else. While you're on there as well, don't forget to click on some of the sponsored banner adverts. They help keep the site up and running. And if you haven't submitted your picture for the Ultimate Installer competition, please do that. There's well over 80 pictures on there now. Just join the Flickr group. Post your picture in there, and you've got a chance of winning Xbox 360 Elite and loads of other stuff as well. There's some great pictures in there. Some of the setups are really nice. And one more thing to plug as well. If you're not already on Twitter, you should join Twitter. It's a kind of micro-blogging service, which I've mentioned frequently. And you can find out what people are up to that you communicate with, like installing service packs or recording the Media Center show. I find you get a lot of news on there much quicker than you go through blogs and RSS readers and go through the websites. So you'll find me on there, IS Dixon, and it's twitter.com. Okay, now time for a break and a message from One Voice, and I'll be back with Scott Evans.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on OneVoice's Media Center Communicator, MCEach Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. OneVoice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Scott Evans, welcome back to the Media Center Show.
Great, thanks.
And live from EHX as well, which is really good. So is EHX all sort of kicking off today?
Yeah, today's the first day of the trade show portion of EHX. The last 2 days, on Tuesday and Wednesday, we had Media Center University, which was a 2-day course for custom installers and integrators, basically professionals in the industry who are using Media Center, getting them kind of up to speed on Media Center and even getting into some of the tips and tricks around using Media Center in a high-end home or a custom installation.
So I bet there's a lot of good kit being shown off there and sort of a lot of interesting solutions.
Yeah, well, the trade show just opened a couple hours ago, so I haven't actually gotten into the trade show yet to see what everyone else is exhibiting. Microsoft's participation, we're doing what we call a demo alley room. So outside of the main show floor, there's a set of demo rooms. And we're doing one jointly with Renko, who's a high-end projector company, Stuart, is a high-end screen company. So we have one of these rooms set up with a number of displays in it. The main display is an 11-foot wide, high-end 3-chip DLP display, being powered by a Nivius Edge extender. And then various other displays in the room are being powered by other extenders and an Xbox 360. So we're able to show off Media Center, as well as some of top in the industry display technologies and screen technologies all at the same time.
That sounds pretty good, and it's kind of the show's focus is sort of on the sort of custom integrators, isn't it? They're the kind of people that will be coming to look at that.
Yeah, most of the attendees are professionals in the consumer electronics industry, mostly custom installers and integrators, also some manufacturers and press. But really, it's a trade show focused on those that are building out that electronic house, that digital house lifestyle for consumers.
And one of the things that you announced today was the 2008 Ultimate Install Contest, which I know you had one last year. So you just tell us a bit about that. What is the contest?
Yeah, you can think of this as version 2. We launched our debut contest last year at CEDIA, which is another industry trade show. It went really well. We had a winner who's out of Utah and a custom installer who did a job there. It was really great. It was a whole home solution built on Media Center and Lifeware, really high fit and finish. A great install. And that ended up being featured online and in some print stories. We felt that the competition as a whole was really successful, so we wanted to relaunch it this year, effectively as version 2. So we're kicking that off today. So we're unveiling the version 2 competition and getting the rules out there and getting the custom install community aware of the competition this year. And one of the things we learned in the first time through this competition is that we need to give the installers a good bit of lead time so they can wrap up jobs that are good candidates, as well as get photos and entries together. So in this competition, the entries are due August 1st. And we'll be announcing the winner at the CD Expo, which is in September.
Right, so you've got plenty of time, or the installers have got plenty of time to, like you said, finish off ones that they know that are going to be worth highlighting.
Yeah, exactly. They can take some of their great jobs that they're doing today with Media Center, have some time to get those finished, and get them documented into an entry form so they can be considered for this year's competition.
And what kind of technology then are you looking for the installers to use? Obviously Media Center, but what kind of other things are they going to be adding to that system?
Well, if you look at some of the competitions that are already out in the industry, there's some of the different publications run competitions to highlight some of these really great whole home or home entertainment systems. We wanted to take a slightly different twist and sponsor a competition that focuses on the inclusion of Media Center, using Microsoft's entertainment technologies and platforms in the implementation of the home entertainment system, with that being one of the key elements. And so really we wanted to be able to recognize some of the great installs and some of the great installers out there who are building on top of Microsoft's platforms and get them recognized, pick top ones and get it recognized and show get it showed off to those installers as well as the installers who aren't yet using Media Center or Microsoft technologies and give them a taste of what they're missing out on.
I guess then since you did this last year, that there's a whole sort of range of new technologies with the extenders that weren't available this time last year.
Yeah, exactly. I think when we kicked this off last year, we only had the Xbox 360 on the market as an extender. Now there's a wide variety. There's winner home solution and include extender and that attribute. But we're really looking for some creativity and originality, as well as a great user and also integration with other subsystems that go beyond the PC, tying into automation or whole home audio or other entertainment aspects of the home that go beyond Media Center, building on top of that platform.
Yeah, I mean that's it, isn't it? Media Center's a platform. It's a great platform for adding extra components to that make a sort of a whole home solution.
Yeah. We've seen great work on building custom plugins on taking community and from other third parties and integrating those in for custom residential installations. We've seen some really elegant remote control solutions, as well as tie into whole home audio and whole home automation solutions, where even things and activities as simple as ringing the doorbell can automatically pause, you know, a TV show and media center.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like to. As enthusiastic kind of things, we all dream that we can get all these things connected together. You're looking for some of the installers to put these kind of things together in a real world environment.
Yeah, it's the power of software, right? Being able to take these great products that are wired together and use the power of software to drive it forward, both in a customized kind of personalized solution for their clients, as well as something that's fairly innovative.
Well, I think it's great. And what kind of prizes are there for the winner?
So the winner is a custom installer, right? So this competition targets professionals who are installing entertainment systems on behalf of their clients. So the installer themselves get recognized as the ultimate installer for the year. So we'll feature the install on the Microsoft website, as well as help promote it and get some press coverage for the installer and the winning install. So that's the primary part of this is really getting recognized. But as part of that as well, we pay for a trip out to Microsoft, give them a vacation and some money, and pay for a photo shoot of the winning house, and do an interview and some other activities and fun perks that go along with that overall recognition that they get. And we also this year, new for this year, we throw in a product package for the homeowner as an appreciation for letting their home be submitted as an entry into the competition.
Yeah, it's a good idea. So there's an incentive for everybody around, and I guess the publicity that the custom installer would get would be worth more than a prize as well.
Yeah, exactly. If that particular house ends up winning the competition and the photos get published, we want to make sure the homeowner feels really proud and excited to have the ultimate install in their home. And feels great in supporting the competition.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, and I think it's great even for the enthusiast to follow along and see the kind of things that are out there. So, so the installers, where's the best place to go to find out more information, the rules, and everything?
Yeah, so we have a website. If you go to microsoft.com/ultimate install, that will give you the full background and all the rules and installer. That's where we collect all of our resources for a custom installer. Mm.
Well, that's great. Well, many thanks for your time, and I'll let you get back and go and have a wander around EHX. I guess you've got a lot of meetings and stuff to do, and many thanks for your time today.
Yeah, pleasure, and look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks to Scott. Don't forget to post your pictures in the our Flickr group for the enthusiast competition. Link for that in the show notes. Right, now time to talk to AMD about AMD Live. Raymond Dunbeck, welcome to the Media Center show.
Thank you.
And we're talking AMD Live today. So, first of all, just give us a brief introduction on who you are and what you do at AMD, and then we'll go on to talking about AMD Live.
My name is Raymond Dunbeck, and I work with AMD's Digital Media Solutions Group.
AMD Live, how did that come about?
So AMD Live started a few years ago, actually. It's been around for, again, a number of years, and it started off in the enthusiast market looking really as part of our initiative with content creators in Hollywood and other areas where high-end creation is done. And since then, we have actually taken it from a content creation and really brought it down into the masses for the consumer for content consumption and creation.
Right. I mean, I look at the website, and there's a whole range of stuff. And I think we have talked about AMD Live on the show back in the XP days. So what's the sort of the latest initiative on AMD? And particularly around AMD Explorer, I was interested in that as well, AMD Live Explorer.
Okay. New application that AMD has recently released. And what the AMD Live takes advantage of the technology AMD brings to bear, multi-core CPUs, high-end discrete GPUs, it takes advantage of DirectX functionality, pixel shading, and actually gives the consumer a great 3D immersive experience for enjoying their music, their photos, and their videos. It also takes advantage of a lot of emerging type usage models, one of those being on your cell phone, your favorite television program, and you have your notebook on your lap, and you're surfing the internet at the same time. Well, when I ask that question in group, you know, rooms full of people when I'm presenting, almost every hand in the room goes up because it's somebody at one time or another these days is doing that. This particular application will allow you to watch your favorite podcast or downloaded video on the same screen that you're enjoying or surfing the internet on.
Right, I see. So it's about sort of getting your content that's stored on your main system away, you'd be able to get it from wherever you are.
Absolutely. So not only can you enjoy the content that's local on the system that you physically have in your hand, you can also, with the AMD Live Explorer, get access to your content while you're away from home using AMD Live's on-demand application. What that is you load AMD Live on-demand on your home system, and as long as that system is on, you're able to access your content from wherever you are in the world.
Right. So you can just pick up anything you've got.
And the other great thing is that not only you're able to access your content from wherever you are free, you can access it in the same 3D immersive experience that you have on your local machine.
Ah, see. So the 3D Explorer that you've got on your local machine, you can also use that over the web.
Absolutely. To get your content from your machine while you're away from home.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
I mean, one of the things I noticed that it mentions about TV shows, so is that streaming recorded TV or is there a way to stream live TV?
So today, the current the application as it sits today handles pre-recorded television programs. The application going forward will actually handle streaming programs as well. But today, again, it's pre-recorded programs. But it's a great application, and again, the thing that I find myself using it for, what will typically end up happening in the evening as I'm sitting at home working, I've got my notebook up and I'm watching a little program. At the same time, I can actually, you know, surf the web, and I typically do that in the evenings.
Right, so you can have sort of the web content on there and your local content in there at the same time.
Absolutely. And so, for example, we have a partnership with a company called Jacked. And what I typically do is I'll actually sit and watch a sporting event on my television set, and while at the same time I'm surfing Jacked, jacked.com.
Right.
And what Jacked.com is, it gives me real live statistics on the game as I'm watching it. So as somebody makes a shot, their stats pop up, I get to look at that and enjoy it and kind of have all the information at my fingertips just like the commentators do.
And that's in the sort of through the Explorer on your laptop, you're running.
Yep.
That.
Yes, and that's one of the partnerships that we have in place to help consumers get more out of their entertainment experience.
Right. So the whole AMD Live then is kind of adding an extra layer of functionality to your existing systems, and things like this of integrating extra content in there, and that seems to be what the whole AMD Live concept's about.
Absolutely. The AMD Live concept is really trying to make entertainment easier for consumers while at the same time taking advantage of all the high-end technologies that we bring to bear. So, for example, multi-core CPUs and high-end discrete GPUs. There are a lot of applications out there that use those, but, you know, right now, the mainstream, we're actually bringing enthusiast-level entertainment to the masses with AMD Live.
Right, which is a good point, because, you know, enthusiasts may be able to get a lot of these services together. We'll come back to the downloads, the AMD Live downloads, but we may be able to get some of these services together, but you give to an average consumer that's just got the new system, and they don't want to go and hunt for different software packages to install. They want it in one place.
Exactly, and the great thing is that with AMD Live, we give users a number of different applications that they have access to. So, for example, with the AMD Live Explorer, not only do we give them a great 3D immersive experience when they're enjoying their music, their photos, and their videos, and also letting them watch their favorite pre-recorded video while they surf the web, within the Explorer, they also have access to a lot of other AMD Live applications that will accomplish entertainment-related tasks for them, again, in most cases, free. For example, AMD Live's MyTV To Go. That's an application. So as they sit and record a television program, that program can automatically be transcoded into the proper file format for their portable media player, so that in the background as it's recording. So when they connect their portable media player via the USB cable, that application can automatically download to the portable media player without the user having to do virtually anything. It's just automatic for them. Again, entertainment made easy. Be Live Fusion Tunes. It's an application that will actually combine their iTunes music playlists center. So they're going to one place to get all of their music, regardless of where they got it from.
Yeah, I saw the that on the download page that was there. So you can then. I noticed there was like two versions of that. So the basic versions you can sync up, and then sort of a premium version where you can actually get the copy protected content into Media Center as well.
Exactly. So, you know, how we've basically structured this is that when you have any Windows compatible device, you know, those applications.
So you can use that then for sort of syncing everything together. You've got all your different content from different areas and from iTunes and everything else, and it's all coming into Media Center.
Absolutely. And again, I keep saying this, but it really is the case. AMD's goal with this program is to make entertainment easy and accessible, and to bring enthusiast level entertainment to the masses. And our goal is to do that by making it easy.
Well,
the advantage of high power technologies, easily.
And these add-ons then, to get them in, do they come pre-installed, or do you download them after you've got your AMD power machine?
For example, there are links. If you go to a retailer in North America today, you will see Gateway PCs that have a desktop icon, an AMD Live desktop icon on them today. When the user clicks that AMD Live desktop icon, they will be directed to AMDLive.com, to where they will be exposed to all the applications that we have available to them. At that time, they can elect to download those applications and use them, again, in most cases free of charge.
Ah, that's excellent. I mean, I'm looking at the list of the available downloads, and there's some ones that would be really useful, like the Log Me In. That seems a useful tool to have, and like I said before, being pointed new users into one area where they can get these kind of tools is a great idea.
I can honestly tell you that Log Me In is a great application, and I use that personally probably 2 to 3 times per week, that particular application. Log in to forward myself emails out of my personal account, to help my wife or kids with spreadsheet issues that they may be having. And I really love. I use it probably 2 to 3 times a week.
And I think, like we said before, you could probably find these if you hunted around the web, but getting them all together for a new user is what's really a good idea about this service.
Absolutely. And the other great thing about the AMD Live versions of these applications, and in most cases, these applications have been tested on AMD Live machines, and we know that they work well, or should work well, on those machines. And there, we've worked with the content providers to correct items to make them work better, to be extremely reliable.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So I want to ask sort of the other collections on the other tools that are on there. Unless you've got the communicator, what's that about?
So the AMD Live Communicator is a partnership with a company called SiteSpeed. And what SiteSpeed does is offer one-to-one or up to one-to-four video conferencing capabilities for people.
Right.
It's a great service. They have high-quality video, and they've got actually award-winning video and audio synchronization tools that enable almost real-time video. And so as you're speaking, you're not seeing someone's lips move and then you hear the sound. It's really synchronized, the video synchronized with the audio. So they've done a great job with their tool to give a great video conferencing experience.
Right. And that again goes back to the thing of making it easy for someone just who's got all this new equipment just to find that and get that set up straight away.
Absolutely. So make it easy on them, and also give them access to one of the best applications out there.
Mm.
It really is. It, in terms of video quality and audio synchronization, it's a very high quality solution.
And just going back to the Live Explorer, what kind of hardware do you need to run that?
So that's a great question. The AMD Live Explorer can be run on any AMD Live based system. So there's two levels of AMD Live. There's AMD Live and there's AMD Live Ultra. AMD Live is an open architecture that enables, you know, our customers to configure the machine in a way where it makes the most sense for their customer set. When you go to AMD Live Ultra, AMD Live Ultra is the best that AMD has to offer. It has AMD quad-core CPUs and ATI discrete graphics. Now, with that, you can load the AMD Live Explorer or use the AMD Live Explorer on either an AMD Live-based machine or an AMD Live Ultra-based machine. So in terms of availability to consumers, there's a wide price range of machines that will run the Explorer.
And I suppose one of the things that you could use it for as well is if you run it on a laptop, is kind of an extender for your network. So you've got all your content on your main media center machine, and then you can use the Explorer on your laptop to sort of consume that content.
Absolutely. Funny you should say that. One of the guys that we work with, frankly, just about every evening, will stream content from his desktop machine in his office to his notebook while he's sitting in his living room. So he's streaming either music or typically movies or programs, his programs or podcasts.
And does that have to be over your own network, or can that be done over the internet as well?
It can be done over the internet.
Excellent. So it really does sort of add an extra level of software to make your, certainly say your laptop, much more useful than it would have been without that.
Absolutely, and we've actually taken it a step further, so we're not just giving you access from your PC or from a PC from wherever you are in the world. You can actually access your movies and your photos and your music from a Windows-enabled or Windows mobile cell phone. On-demand service as well.
Oh, excellent. So, yeah, so you can pick that up wherever you are.
Absolutely. So, again, your entertainment or your content, when and where you want it, on the best screen available at that moment. And that screen could be a notebook PC. That screen could be a cell phone or a connected PDA with a Windows-based web browser. Absolutely. Your content, when and where you want it.
And so where's the best place to go to get more information on this?
The best place to go to get more information on AMD Live is AMDLive.com.
Excellent. I'll include a link for that in the show notes then.
Excellent. Thank you.
Well, thanks for your time today. And I'm going to be going to give that a try, because I think it's, especially the Explorer, I think it sounds really good. So I'll give that a try, and hopefully some of the listeners will be able to give it a try too.
Enjoy it. Just enjoy it. And that's really what we want out of this, is for our customers to just enjoy entertainment.
Excellent. Well, many thanks for your time today.
Hey, thanks to AMD. If you're using any of the AMD Live applications, let me know. I'm interested in hearing how you get on with those. Are you using Explorer? Are you using any of the other free applications? The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Please keep the emails coming in. Do like getting them. You can follow me on Twitter, Facebook group, forums, don't forget pictures, everything else, and I'll see you next week. Bye.